devotion to the deaf. Listen, the deaf, Hopi Indians, Stan Roach. I was 27 years old. Before anyone told me I could have eternal life, I would never perish. My life was a wreck, a mess, and I don't want to wait till these Indians, they don't have to wait till they're 27. They can hear it now. And there's not a plan of salvation for the white man, the black man, the Indian, the Chinaman. Everybody doesn't have their own little plan of salvation. Jesus said there's one way, amen, and He is the way. And listen, if you're not saved today, you need to listen to the man of God. Yes, and he's talking about going to the Hopi Indians. And tonight, Brother Andy's going to show us his a DVD on the Hopi Indians. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that and hearing more about his ministry. Dan Spencer called me last week, Thursday I believe it was, and he said there's 65 reservations down in the West that have no church on them that he was aware of. That's sad. And like I said, I don't want them to have to wait till they're 27, their life's wrecked and ruined. We get the gospel to them now, just like that little girl on the picture there. So, Brother Andy Magnarelli, why don't you come preach for us, brother? And he'll be preaching tonight, showing his DVD. And again, now, he's looking for a wife, so you be praying about it, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Sometimes you need all the help you can get. All right, please open your Bibles with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. So you didn't say what chapter? I know. Okay. I want to bore your guys' imagination for a little bit. You guys find yourself in Ezekiel. I don't want to give you the chapter. I don't want you reading ahead. I want your guys' attention. I want your guys' imagination. If I were... want everybody, matter of fact, right now to bow their heads and close their eyes. In just a few seconds, I'll lift your eyes back up. But I just want you to concentrate on the words that I'm about to say. I want you to imagine a little boy, about teenage years, 14, 15 years old, carrying an old rickety wooden cart up a dirt path over top of a grassy knoll out there in the middle of nowhere. And as you lift up your heads with me right now, you can look and just listen to the explanation. As this boy is pushing this cart, he's pushing it in haste because he's trying to get to the marketplace and sell his goods. Inside his cart is a bunch of hay with some goods that he wants to get to the marketplace and sell. And as he comes up over this grassy knoll, he sees this huge, beautiful city sitting at the bay of the ocean right there in front of him. And as he looks at the city there in the ocean, he notices the snow-capped mountains on the other side of it in purple and orange as the sun is rising. He's rushing to get to the marketplace at the break of morning. The sun is rising behind him. And as he's running down to the city, kind of hustling along through this dirt path, he finally comes up to the big, massive gates. And the drawbridge comes down, and he goes over the drawbridge, and he starts wandering inside this city, hurrying to get to his place. And as he goes over each cobblestone bump there that makes the floor of this what seems to be like a castle there on the marketplace in the center of the city, his cart is shaking all over the place as he's running. And as he looks around, he just can't help but in awe to see the soldiers that are standing on top of the city and all over in their dress armor and their shiny helmets and their shiny breastplates and their spears that are there for show for the king, as if the king was to come by. And as they parade across the top there of the city in different intervals and stop, and as he's running, he just hears the people's voices in the cities cry out. They cry out, "Come get your myrrh and incense and your cassia here." Another one, as he looks, he sees a wooden chest with gold and with beautiful red ribbons and gold rope surrounding, and it's opened up in beautiful, rich clothing of scarlet and purple and royal blue are laying on it. And he's saying, "Come get your royal apparel dressed like a king. Come get your royal apparel." And next to it, he sees a man as he picks up an ivory horn, and as he picks up some ebony, and it has carvings on it, and it's immaculate and it's beautiful. And he says, "Come get your ivory. Come get your ebony. Come get your picture of art. But not only that, come get your so you can make make your own. Come get the raw material. And he sees another cart of silver and gold and lead, and they're trying to sell their wares. And in the back, he sees the animals of sheep and horses. And all he hears is people, and he sees people, and he sees the musicians playing their stringed instruments with their carts open, asking for alms as people walk by. And as he walks, running through the city to get to the back section where he gets to sell his goods, he looks on the walls, and on the walls of this royal city is just shields and swords and brass and shiny, and it's reflecting the sunlight from the morning as it's coming in, and it's shining brilliance all over. And as these beautiful royal shields all around the city, we turn to Ezekiel chapter 27. And this boy has in his cart, he has in his cart balm, and he has in his cart wheat, and he has in his cart honey. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 7, and he has in his cart oil, and he's there to sell. It says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situated at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty, thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy ship boards of fir trees of cedar, and they have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars, and company of the Azurites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen and with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in the city, thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and of blood and of front were in thine army. Thy men of war, they hang the shield and helmets in thee to set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about, and they hang their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead. They traded in thy fairs. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. They of the house of Togarma traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. May isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee forth presents, horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple, and broidered work, and fine linen, and coral, and a gate. Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of minith, and panag, and honey, and oil, and balm. Damascus was thy merchant, and the multitude of the wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches, and the wine of Helbon, and white's wool. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupied thy fairs, brought iron, cassia, and calamus, were in thy market. Dedan was thy merchant, and precious coals for chariots. Arabia and other, and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs, and rams, and goats. And these were they thy merchants, the merchants of Sheba and Ramah. They were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones and gold. Haran and Cana and Eden. And the merchants of Sheba, Ashur and Chemed were thy merchants. These were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes, embroidered work, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar, among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy markets, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Thy rowers have brought thee into the great waters, the east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers, and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and in all thy company which is in the midst of the seas, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pirates of the sea shall come down from their ships.
They shall stand upon the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, What city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy waters went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with thy multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall be anymore. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I pray that you'll bless this time now, our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here the marketplace. Oh, how obvious it is. If you were here for Sunday school and you didn't get anything out of Abe's message, listen to this, because it's basically the same thing. Here, all the marketplace of the world, everybody's there, everybody's selling their goods. And now it's been condemned to die. A prophecy has gone forth. A prophecy has gone forth that this city is going to be destroyed. It's going to be sunk into the midst of the sea. And I want you to see something here. Let's go back to the middle of the chapter. Let's go back to verse 17. Verse 17 is an amazing verse to me as I read this and as I thought about this. It says here, Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy markets wheat of myrrh and paneg and honey and oil and balm. You say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? What was Judah? What was Israel? Were they not the children of God? What was Judah? What was Israel? Were they not God's children themselves? And here they are in the midst of the world, in the midst of the marketplace, in the midst of all the shiny and pretty things the world has to offer. And what are they doing there? They're selling as well. They're holding up their wheat and saying, come buy wheat. They're holding up their oil and saying, come buy oil. They're holding up their balm and saying, come buy balm. They're holding up their honey and they're saying, come buy honey. Oh, for it to be us as Christians, that we walk around the marketplace of a damned world that's dying and going to hell because of their sin, and we're trying to sell goods like the rest of the world. Oh, Lord, who it be to us that are Christians that are walking down the world, walking by the seaside, walking through all the glitteries of the cities, around all the ivory, and around all the sapphire, and around all the ebony, and around all the warm apparel. And we just try to sell another thing, to be a part of the world. That a world that stand. And a city that is going to be cast into the sea is going to be cast down like the Bible says. I started thinking, I wonder what the Old Testament prophets would do if they're in this situation. I wonder what the Old Testament prophets would do if they had a cart. If they had a cart in the corner of a city that was damned. Oh, maybe if we look to Isaiah 53, he would say, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I wonder if Isaiah would sit there and cry to the people, Come meet my Savior. Come meet Jesus Christ. Why spendeth he therefore your substance for that which is not bread? And it goes on and talks about, and your money for that which satisfieth not. It doesn't matter what you buy in the marketplace of the world. It doesn't matter what pretty thing you walk up to and look at. It doesn't matter what alcohol or drugs or anything out there. It's not going to satisfy. What satisfies is free. It's in Jesus Christ Himself. I wonder if Isaiah standing there, if he wouldn't shout that. I wonder if David was standing there in that corner of the marketplace, if he would have lift up one of those jars of honey, and he'd say, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, come have fellowship with Jesus Christ. He longs for you. He died for you. He wants to show you how sweet He is, how sweet His words are. And he'd hold up that jar of honey there on the marketplace, and everybody around, and he'd holler, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, I wonder about Joel. What would Joel do in Joel chapter 2? Maybe he's standing there in the market. marketplace and he sees the people for who they really are. He sees their broken lives and their sin-wrenched lives and their marriages and their families falling apart and their kids running astray. And he cries out, He'll restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten and the years that the pommel worm has eaten. And maybe as he says in Joel chapter 2, he'll cry out there in the midst of the marketplace, He'll restore to you those years that sin has taken away. He'll restore to you those years. Oh, maybe John the Baptist would stand there and he'd say, Make straight the way of the Lord. Maybe he'd stand there and say, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, maybe Jeremiah would stand there. We'll get into that. If any nation, he'll build and he'll plant you again. Maybe Jonah would stand there and say, In 40 days the city will be destroyed. Maybe Jonah would have enough guts and tell the city what God has actually said. Maybe Jonah would have enough guts to stand up there and realize their doom and their demise as it hastens upon them. And he'll say, 40 days and the city will be destroyed. Repent and turn to God. Repent! Repent and be saved! Oh, maybe as he goes down, the woman at the well would say, Come! Come! Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Maybe the woman would run through there and say, Come! Come see a man! Is this not the Christ? Oh, maybe Jeremiah would stand there and hold up the balm and talk about the balm of Gilead. That if you listen to the water of His words, He'll heal those wounds of the past. He'll heal those heartbreaks that sin has done in your life. And maybe he'll hold up that balm and talk about the balm of Gilead and how much of a miracle Jesus Christ can perform in your life. Maybe John, that saw the, in the Isle of Patmos heaven, maybe he would stand there and say, Come, come see a land that is fair than day. And by faith they can see it afar. Maybe he tells of Jesus Christ sitting on his ivory throne. And you can see him through those clear jasper walls in the streets of gold. Maybe you can see his glory shining out from his throne through those walls. And he tells about the emerald rainbow that surrounds his throne. And he says, I want to tell you about a land that's fair than day. And by faith we can see it afar. Oh, maybe Amos would stand up there and he would yell, There is a famine in the land for hearing the word of God. And he would tell the people where they stand and where they sit at to hear God's word and to hearken to it. Quit playing and quit worrying about the royalty in the marketplace and hear God's word. Oh, maybe in Song of Solomon the bride would say, My beloved is white and ruddy and fairest among 10,000. Oh, maybe she'd say, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feedeth me among the lilies. Oh, as I think about the marketplace, I think about Judah. I think about a child of God standing there selling. Oh, would to God. Oh, would to God that it would be our cry. Would to God that it would be our cry. Maybe if we had that same cart, I wonder what you'd do. Would you hold up the wheat and say, Come buy wheat? Would you hold up the honey and say, Come buy honey? Would you hold up a bomb and say, Come buy bomb? Or would you hold up that wheat and look at it and you start saying, I know the man that's the bread of life. If you taste of him, you'll never hunger. I know the man that'll satisfy every desire in your soul and he'll give you peace. It's what you've longed for. It's what you've looked for. Maybe if you've had that jar of honey, maybe you'd pick it up and just try to sell some more wares like the rest of the world. Or maybe you'd pick up that jar of honey and you'd say, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I talked with the Lord this morning. I know He's alive. He filled my soul with sweetness and peace. And I read His word and I ate from it and I drank from it till my cup was full and overflowing. I know the Lord is good. I know our relationship with Him is great. If you're saved out there, if you're God's child, get back in fellowship with God because He's good. He's sweet. He's altogether lovely. Maybe you'd pick that up Or maybe you pick up the Balm of Gilead and you tell the story about one day you used to need it. You tell the story about the day when your life was broken and your life was in shambles, and now that's just a vague memory because one day you applied the Balm of Gilead to it. Now it's just a vague thought. It's just a vague little spot on your past because the washing of the water of God's Word has taken that away. And He's taken that as far as the east is from the west. And He's healed your life. And He's restored to you the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm has eaten. Maybe you'd hold up the Balm and talk about the wonders and the miracles it's done in your life. And maybe you'd hold up the oil. Say, if you just get a hold of God, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to knit your life back together and make it prosperous again, as Psalms chapter 1. You know what? A missionary is like the merchant, as Abe said. He says, make your business the business of God. What a missionary does is he sees a city that's vacant and destroyed. It has a lack of hearing God's Word. It has a prophecy on it that it's going to be destroyed and we're going to be cast into the midst of the sea. And what he does is he goes to churches and he says, I see these people. I see their spiritual need. As Jeremiah says, he says, his land is desolate because no man layeth it to heart. And a missionary is one that lays it to heart. He says, I want you to sponsor me. I'm a young entrepreneur. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to set up shop. But I'm not going to set up shop of things to sell in the marketplace of the world. I'm going to set up shop in a corner. And I'll be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, make straight the way of the Lord. I'll be the one crying in the wilderness. Oh, it's like missionary work. That's what he does. He says, I see a place. Nobody's preaching. Talk about that tonight. Pastor says this morning. 65 places. Not one gospel preaching church in any one of those places. Oh, do we see a need? Do we lay it to heart? Do we realize our prophecy has been set forth that one of these days God will grab the sinful and cast them into hell because no sin can be allowed into heaven? Oh, do we see it? Which side of the cart are you on? There's two different sides of the cart. There's a cart, you're on the side, you're either selling with the world. You're either in the world day after day after day and care less and selling this and selling that. You're on the shopping side of the cart. You're walking around the world. You're looking at all the bright and glistening things. Oh, you're wondering about this pretty thing here and this pretty thing there, and you bought thing after thing after thing. You've tried thing after thing after thing and nothing's satisfied. Oh, will you taste and see that the Lord is good this morning? He paid your sin debt for you on the cross of Calvary. There's not a good work you can do to earn your way to heaven. All you have to do is accept the gift He's already paid. And God says He'll pay your sin payment in full. And you'll be promised eternity in heaven for forever. He's the only thing that gives peace. He's the only thing that satisfies. Oh, you wandered in this little marketplace on this busy street here in Anchorage. And this morning, we're not trying to sell you wares. We're not trying to get your money. We're trying to say, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the Balm of Gilead. He is the honey. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The call I will cry out there on the reservation is Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 9, it says, at one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. A nation that has turned their back on God or has never ever hearkened unto God's Word, God says if He'll turn to them, He'll build them and He'll plant them and He'll make them a nation again. And I believe that's my cry for the Hopi Indians as I'm out there. I want to tell them that God will build you. God will plant you. God will knit your bodies back together. God will make something from the broken pieces. He'll make you a nation again. He'll build you and He'll plant you. Now you as a Christian, you walk through this marketplace of life every day. Are you just trying to sell another pretty ware like the rest of the world just so you can get another penny in your pocket
and you can go buy a pretty ware from somebody else that's shopping at a cart, knowing that that city is going to break off and fall into the sea and be damned, knowing that there's sinners out there dying and going to hell and they're going to spend eternity burning forever. Or are you going to take those tools that you have and you're going to hold them up? And are you going to cry for Jesus and say that He is the bread of life? Say that fellowship with Him is sweet and show it in your life as you walk around the world? Or are you going to show Him that He is the balm of Gilead and how He's healed all your hurts and all your pains? And are you going to do it by getting a hold of God and doing it with Holy Spirit power, with the oil, and showing them how they can too can have their lives knit together with the Holy Spirit power and by seeking it? And you that are out there today that's just buying, you that are out there today that's been shopping place after place after place and have not been satisfied, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 at the end of the chapter, He says if you accept Jesus Christ as your payment, as your payment for your sins, so you don't have to worry about eternity anymore, He says you'll be led forth in peace. And you'll go forth with happiness. Jesus Christ makes the promise. He satisfies. He satisfies. Come today. Let somebody show you how you can know 100% for sure you can spend eternity in heaven. We'll have a word of prayer. In this marketplace of the world, what are you going to do? Dear Lord God, I thank You for this day. I pray that You'll bless the invitation now. Dear Lord God, I pray that You'll bless our time here. Head bows and eyes closed. Pastor Roach.
John chapter 10, verse 28. I was 27 years old when I heard. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." 27 years old. The man of God said, "You can have eternal life. You'll never perish. You can have the eternal water of the Word of God. You'll never thirst again. You eat the bread of life. You'll never hunger again." And when I came and accepted Christ that day, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And my wife got a brand new husband that day. She got a brand new husband. We've been married 40 years. The first 10 was like hell on earth. The last 30 have been sweet. All because she got a new husband. If you need this life the preacher's talking about today, I invite you to come. Let's all stand. Page 232. Only trust Him. If you need to be saved, or if you are saved and God spoke to your heart, you be obedient to the Lord this morning. If you'll come, we'll show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Would you come today?
Live with us.
we trust Him. So simple, so easy. So many people stumble over. When I was a little boy, I used to wonder, who is God? Where is God? Is there really a God? Is there really a devil? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And I believed there was a God because I would look around me at creation. I said, there's got to be a God. This had to come from somewhere. But who is God? Where is He? And the truth is, there were Christians in my town that should have been out knocking on my door telling me, I want to tell you who Jesus is. I want to tell you what He did for you. And nobody came. Nobody came. Now, I went to church a lot. We sang a lot. But listen, you can sing your way into hell. Jesus said you must be born again. And I'm going back down to Grafton next week. Week after next, I'm going to be preaching a revival meeting there. And I'm going back to tell them again what they didn't tell me for 27 years. Listen, you must be born again. And your life is going to come to an abrupt end. One of our ladies, a nurse at the hospital, was telling me last week of a young man just a few weeks ago. They brought him into the hospital and a brother had stuck a knife in his heart. And that young man was scared. He said, I'm dying. And he did die. It was too late to try making decisions then. Listen, when you've got a knife sticking out of your heart, it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. And listen, if you're not saved, I encourage you today, ask someone. Ask one of our men, one of our ladies, could you tell me what they're talking about? I want to know for sure that I'm saved. That's all it takes. Don't wait. Don't put it off until it's too late. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll be dismissed now tonight at 5 o'clock.